game day on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We're live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, and Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, across all Sportsnet platforms, Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Jake the Snake Schultz, Derek Brandale, as we get ready for puck drop. 8 p.m., 7:30 pregame on Sportsnet and CBC. And boys, it is tough to read based on, I think, the resilience of the Edmonton Oilers, what we've seen all playoff. There's a lot of reasons why you would say this will be the last game, but then there's always the 97 and 29 factor.
I'm telling you, like, every piece of analysis I can do is like, all right, Florida is a better team. Florida's going to win. Florida, whatever. But the second strongest thing I believe is that the Oilers are never done. Like, you can never bet against the Oilers. We've done this back-to-back regular seasons. We've done it. They're down 3-0 in the final last year. You just can't count the Oilers out. So I think Florida has a massive upper hand, but it's the Oilers.
A failed clear away from being down 3-1 in the first round of the Los Angeles Kings.
Dead.
A bad challenge game from being down 3-0.
Game four in this series.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's, they're just, they do not go down easy. So it's really tough to say, yeah, Florida in a walk. Who knows?
I think to a man, we all believe that Florida is the deepest team by far and away in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how much will depend on 97 scoring, maybe one or two goals, Leon, one or both of them having a big night here, yeah, because it's hard to imagine them not being far and away the best players on the ice. Is there anything left from that supporting cast here?
Well, I think if you're Florida, the one thing you have to do is say, just make everyone else beat us. It's like the basketball theory. We're just, okay, Steph Curry's not going to shoot. We don't care who else or what else. We're just not going to let them have that shot. They need to be all over those two guys and just say, go beat us with Matthias Janmark. Maybe someone else.
Most points per game when facing elimination with minimum five games played, the most all time is Connor McDavid with 1.64. And on that list as well is Leon Draisaitl at 1.36. So these two guys are extremely good in this situation.
On where a list with Gretzky and Lemieux, they're ahead.
Yeah. And Ron Wilson. So good on Ron Wilson for being there.
I got a great tweet here from someone I follow, Archeola Guy. He's an Oilers former blogger. He says, I wanted to see how many goalies had playoff seasons with more than 10 games played and how everyone stacked up by save percentage. That's 147 goalies have had 10-plus games in a playoff season, going back to the 05 lockout. 129th is Stu Skinner in 2024. 142nd is Stu Skinner in 2025. 145th is Pickard in 2025. And 146th is Skinner in 2023. So nearly the worst seasons possible. They haven't got that extra save. So to me, it's like those two guys we talk about may be awesome. Skinner's going to have to be better than really bad.
In a few minutes, we'll welcome in David Amber, studio host, Hockey Night in Canada, NHL on Sportsnet.
I mean, they're in this game six of the Stanley Cup Finals, so it's really hard to be critical of the management team, but how do you not think about addressing this after what you saw last year with the up-and-down nature? I know you go to game seven or whatever, but it's just, if I'm an Oilers fan, that's what the biggest sort of, I don't know, the where I have my crosshairs is not having a more viable option for the primes, the primey primes of Draisaitl and McDavid. I don't know.
For sure, bud.
All right.
For sure.
From Sunrise in Florida, let's welcome in David Amber. DA, how are you, buddy?
Hello.
So I thought we'd catch you in a tank top, but a t-shirt works too. Like, how hot is it down there? And like, what's happening here in Sunrise with the heat?
Well, it's Africa hot. Jean Principe is out there. You ever see... So ever see the movie Something About Mary and the neighbor likes to tan? And
We can recall.
He's just bathed himself in Crisco oil, has big this aluminum foil sort of thing he's got holding over his head. So he'll be nice and crispy tonight for our broadcast.
Looking good.
As far as the start, how imperative is it that the Oilers don't melt in the first 5 or 10 minutes of this game?
I mean, I think it's everything. They've been outscored 7-0 in the first period of the last three games, and we saw firsthand in game five, guys, like, if Florida has the lead, they're incredibly difficult to play against, and they dictate the tempo, and they play low event hockey when they need to, and they dictate the style of the game. And it's hard. It's hard to play against a team when you're chasing. Edmonton against Dallas, guys, in their four wins, they did not trail once. They forced Dallas on their heels. They made Dallas uncomfortable. And what we've witnessed in these Florida victories here in the Stanley Cup final is Edmonton's been chasing the game. And yes, they've had 8 comeback victories. And yes, they did come back, of course, in game 4 in dramatic fashion after trailing 3-0. But certainly that's not a recipe to go out and win a Stanley Cup against a very good Florida team. So I think that first period's imperative. I think the Oilers would love to play with the lead. They have not scored in the first period of the last 3 games, and I'm sure that's something that they're going to talk about coming out of the gate strong and forcing maybe Florida to be a little uncomfortable and not play the style of game that they maybe would prefer to tonight.
DA, the Florida Panthers have scored 5-plus goals 12 times in this Stanley Cup playoffs. The most it's ever been done in the playoffs is 13. I want to say one of my dad's Islanders teams did it, but it only happened twice before. You know, they kind of goes under the radar that they're a pretty good offensive team as well. You know, Stu Skinner's going to be back in net for the Oilers tonight. Should there be some focus on the Oilers' part of, okay, we need to defend better, or is it just let McDavid and Draisaitl go and win the way they like to win?
Well, I mean, I think that's one thing that's maybe been understated in this final, guys. This has been one of the most dominant performances we've ever witnessed in a Stanley Cup final. As far as they're one of the most prolific scoring teams ever. They're the highest scoring road team in NHL Stanley Cup history in one single playoff year. And not just the 12 games where they've put up 5 goals, but 13 times they've won by multiple goals. 9 times their victories have been by at least 3 goals. I mean, they're lapping the field, and throw in on top, they've started every single series on the road against Tampa, against Toronto, against Carolina, and now against Edmonton. It's been, you know, if Florida wins tonight, I think as much as there's going to be sort of this shadow of disappointment surrounding the Oilers and, you know, the pursuit of that elusive Stanley Cup for Connor McDavid, there's going to be a lot of narratives that come out of this. One narrative that shouldn't, you know, we need to tell and we shouldn't fail to give it its flowers is just how good and dominant this performance has been start to finish by the Florida Panthers.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll follow it up with this, with this narrative. If Florida finds a way to put this thing away, David, I'll start with you and I'll get you guys to maybe chime in as well. But like, what is a bigger story, like Florida winning back to back or Connor going 0-for-2?
Well, I mean, I think because of the nature of the sport of hockey, it's got to be Florida winning back to back. I think they could be the 4th repeat champion in 40 years or something, on 35 years or whatever it is. You know, it seems unfair when you characterize it as Connor going 0-for-2. It'd be like he's a no-show. He hasn't been a no-show. He has 7 points in the 5 games. He's been at times one of the best players on the ice. He's done a lot to make this a winning situation. You know, I think it's incumbent on some of his teammates to step up and produce. You know, Evander Kane was sensational the first 2 games. Where has he been the last 3 games? Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was such a force against Dallas. Where has he been in this series? You know, Leon Draisaitl obviously has had 2 incredible moments with those overtime goals, but they certainly need a lot from him as well. They're missing Zach Hyman, and the goaltending continues to be an issue. I just don't think it's fair to characterize it as, you know, Connor 0-for-2. I just don't think that would tell the whole story. So in my eyes, at least, and I'm interested what Justin and Sammy and you think, but in my eyes, it's got to be this Florida team. They deserve a lot of praise, a lot of credit, and Connor McDavid continues to be the best player in the world, and he'll still chase that elusive first cup if that's how this plays out, just like Ovechkin, just like Yzerman, just like Ray Bourque, just like a lot of the game's greats had to wait many, many years to do it.
I think we're talking about almost 2 different things in that. In hockey history, the Florida Panthers will be remembered as one of the all-time great playoff teams, right? They win two cups, three finals. The way they play, extremely memorable. We'll lump them in when we talk about the best playoff teams. But from a reality TV perspective, Connor McDavid going 0-2, and again, I'm with you, GA, he's not 0-2, but he has been a part of teams that now will have lost twice in the final. He's the most bloodthirsty, hungry, passionate cup guy. And that's going to be fascinating. What does that make him do with the rest of his decisions, his next contract with the Oilers? How are things affected from there will shape the NHL? So,
yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, especially here in Canada, at the end of the day, okay, we're going to tip our hat to Florida. But up here in Canada, nobody's going to care whether or not, you know, where they're remembered in history. That conversation could be real short. Mm-hmm. The ongoing one would be Connor McDavid.
How does
two losses affect him? How does it affect him going into a contract year, as you had said? Like, it is perhaps, David, if it's unfair to say, you know, to categorize it as 0-2, then a major fork in the road tonight for Connor McDavid in terms of
what?
Where he goes moving forward, his legacy, right?
But don't you think it's more likely that he'd be like LeBron James? He'd only ever leave after getting Edmonton a championship? Doesn't that feel more likely than I got to go somewhere else to get it? Anyway, maybe. Yeah. Go ahead, D.A.
We're also not talking about a guy who's 35 here. I think, how old's Connor McDavid? 28, I believe. So you'd have to check.
Might be 27.
Yeah, he's 27 or 20. I mean, he's got another 10, 12 kicks.
He's 28,
He's 28. I mean, Corey Perry is lighting it up as a 40-year-old. Connor McDavid still has a good decade to go. So I don't think we can be – it almost sounds like a eulogy. What's his legacy? Totally. I mean, he's still working on that. As far as his future here in Edmonton, I mean, all signs point to him coming back to Edmonton. I don't even think there's a question at this point. His wife just opened up a store, a boutique, a cocktail lounge. His buddy Leon Draisaitl just signed for 8 years. I don't get any impression his former agent is now the president. I don't have any reason to believe going to be anywhere except Edmonton moving forward. And I certainly think his legacy is far from being written, and the final chapter is far from being written. It would be considered a considerable bump along the road, because we all know how hard it is to get to the Stanley Cup final and to go back to back and to not be able to get that elusive cup. Certainly there'll be some like, oh man, you know, when is it going to happen? How is it going to happen? Is it going to happen?
You're watching and listening to David Amber, studio host, Hockey Night in Canada, NHL on Sportsnet. So outside of 97 and 29, who has to have a big night here?
I mean, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Connor Brown, Corey Perry, they need some complimentary scoring. You know, one thing that, you know, to get back to the Florida team, I know how great Marchand and Bennett have been, but again, they got Verhaeghe and Reinhardt and Barkov and Lundell, and I can keep going. And all the way to their fourth line, they have, I think, 9 players with at least 15 points, which I do think is the most since one of your dad's teams, Justin. Like, it's just, they're deep, they're good, they're thorough. No team I've seen in all my years covering hockey plays with their identity or is more comfortable in their specific identity than the Florida Panthers. So that means that everyone's got to be going for the Oilers. You can't just sit back and say, well, let's hope 97 and 29 pull us out of this. And remember, the storyline going into the final was the depth of the Oilers, 20 different goal scorers, different hero every night, you know, 10 different guys with game-winning goals. That's all great. We need some of that now. You know, we need Trent Frederick. We need Evander Kane. You need all of these. I say we, I don't mean we like I'm with you. I just mean, if I'm the Oilers, you need all of those players going, because, you know, Florida, they're all right now feeling it. What worries me if I'm the Oilers is Sam Reinhardt, who was really quiet through the Carolina series, got injured, was quiet at the beginning of this series. He's now scored in 3 straight games. We all know what Marchand and Bennett are doing. Kachuk's getting better and better every game. Like, they're all feeling it. They're healthy. They feel good. The Oilers really need to push back as a team collectively. It can't be, you know, just two guys trying to pull the rope in one direction.
So let's talk a little bit about the Florida Panthers. Brad Marchand has been an absolute bright spot. He's been a joy. Like, he seems to be able to be in these pressure moments and still maintain personality, where, you know, you think a lot of guys get all kind of, you know, clenched up and worried about it. He seems to be himself, on the verge now of his second Stanley Cup and I believe his fourth Stanley Cup final.
He's amazing, guys. And I don't think when when Bill Zito went out and got Brad Marchand, even in his wildest dreams, this guy was going to perform at this level. I mean, he has the most goals in the Stanley Cup final since Esa Tiikkanen in 1988. I mean, let that sink in. That's not nothing. Kidding. It's the most goals in the Stanley Cup final. In like, I mean, this is crazy. He's been amazing. And I think more than what he's doing on the ice, and Nick can talk to this, when you were there in 94, Nick, you had guys who weren't necessarily always doing it on the ice, but they were keeping everyone calm, cool, collected. When you guys were staring down game 7 against Vancouver, everything on the line, I'm sure there was a lot of veterans there keeping guys lighter and feeling good. And that's what Brad Marchand has done in every series. And not just that, because obviously what he's done on the ice has been incredible. He scored arguably the most important goal for Florida in this entire run. That was game 3 in overtime versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, that's not just a footnote here. Had the Leafs won that game in game 3, we're probably talking about a different matchup here in the Stanley Cup final. Instead, you know, he got that goal in game 3, and Florida's just ridden that momentum right to the Stanley Cup final. So it's been a really incredible story. But it's what I'm seeing about his personality, the Dairy Queen stuff, and in the dressing room. He's just so light with the media. He's so light with his teammates. They're whipping rats at him. He has everyone just feeling good about themselves. He's kept it really light. It's businesslike, but it's also fun. And he's taken the pressure off, I think, the pressure that a lot of these players might have been feeling. So it's been really cool to watch. He's an incredible leader.
DA, we haven't had a Stanley Cup here since the Montreal Canadiens, right, in the early 90s, and there's no question that any market here in Canada would focus and welcome it, and Edmonton's leading the way. But if the Oilers or anyone else in Canada were in a situation like being in a Stanley Cup final and they had as many as 3 marquee important cogs in the roster about to become UFAs, it would be somewhat of a talking point still. Where is it in Florida? You've been down there for a few days now. Where is it on Bennett, Ekblad, and Marchand in terms of these guys maybe walking out the door? Does it even get discussed? Like, where's Bennett, now Marchand, in those type of discussions south?
Listen, it gets brought up, Nick, but they shoot it down really quickly, and they do it in a way that it's respectful, and they do it in a way that diffuses things. And to the credit of the media here, we recognize they're chasing a Stanley Cup, and that's first and foremost. We're not going to get some great sound, but we're not going to get Sam Bennett going, oh, I can't wait to sign in blank. I mean, he's clearly focused on winning a Stanley Cup. He's clearly focused on being a Florida Panther right now. So they're all keeping it very much in the moment, which they have to do. The questions come out there. You know, it'd be really interesting, obviously, if it were in Toronto, what the narrative around Mitch Marner would be like if they were in the Cup final, or if it was in another market with a guy who's going to become a UFA. It's not a huge UFA group this year. But to be honest with you, Nick, it just hasn't been a big, big, big talking point. You know, everyone's aware of it, and there's lots of speculation, and you go online and you see all, you know, Bennett's going to go here and Marchand's going here, and people were coveting Ekblad here and all the rest. But they're keeping that to a minimum. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, you listen to a lot of people who seem to have the ear of these guys. The argument to stay is a pretty compelling argument, right? A winning group, a winning situation, a brand new practice facility. What's that?
So what else could you want?
Yeah, what else could you want? So I don't know if they can afford to keep all this.
Hotter weather.
Then Florida?
Yeah, I mean,
move to the
honestly,
sun?
Guys, winning cures all. It's funny, though, because a big talk, and I'm sure it's been a big talk on your program about, oh, you know, the tax benefits and all that. And I've talked to, you know, there's a number of guys down here. That's been a big discussion. And they're, you know, I talked to Kevin Weeks, and Kevin Weeks like, look, I played in Florida. People weren't clamoring to come play for Florida when we weren't a winning team. That really is.
Can I fight back on this, DA?
Sure.
No one had a flat cap like this. It's the flat salary cap when the pie was tougher to divide and it got harder to get your piece, where it became a way for guys to get more money. It's only been since the start of COVID where it's like, oh my God, how do I find an extra $100,000? Right? Isn't that why it's different now?
I think that plays a huge role in it. And the fact that the cap's supposed to go up exponentially in the next 4 or 5 years could change that narrative. But if Florida and Nashville and Dallas, et cetera, were all losing situations, I'm not sure players would be running to go play in those markets. You know, wasn't that long ago, everyone wanted to play in Chicago or everyone wanted to play in LA for the Kings, you know, and those LA has as high taxes as you're going to find in the US, you know, California. So why was that? Why did guys want to go to San Jose? You know, they were a winning organization. You had a chance to win the cup. You still can get your money, but you also have a chance to leave an indelible mark and have your name on the Stanley Cup, which is what kids dream about. When a kid is 8 years old and goes, I want to play in the NHL, they don't go, I want to play in the NHL, I want to make a lot of money. They say, I want to win the Stanley Cup. And I think somewhere in everyone, there's still that lust and that dream. Yeah, the money's fantastic. And I know, Nick, you focus a lot on that. But I don't think for every guy that's always going to be the top consideration. I think that's there, but it's certainly there alongside a winning culture and a winning environment.
Outside of that, you are the general consensus down there with the media is that Bennett stays?
I mean, I have no input or insight into this. It would seem foolhardy. Here's what I guess I would say. I think there's a little bit of loyalty there. He was having a rough ride in Calgary. It just wasn't working out well for him. It wasn't going well with Sutter. They traded him. And he's found a home here, and he's found an environment here where he's been able to thrive. And he probably likes the fact he can, you know, he doesn't have to put up 80 points in the regular season. He can put up 50 points in the regular season and go out and just do his thing when it matters most. And we saw that in Four Nations as well. I don't know what he'd be chasing something if he wants to leave here. And what is he chasing? If he's not happy here in this environment with this situation, is he chasing just a few extra million dollars? And I'm not belittling that, because hey, money is money. But that's what I would view that in my eyes. If I'm him and I'm loving life, then if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And as long as they can, you know, pay him in the ballpark of what he deserves on the open market, I imagine that might be very appealing to him. But again, that's complete speculation. I have no insights at all.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk a lot about legacy and stuff. How about these coaches? You know, the legacy of Paul Maurice is going to take a sharp turn from the guy who was a good coach, couldn't get it done, to a guy knocking on the door of being a two-time Stanley Cup champion. Chris Knobloch, I believe, just 2 years in the league, right? Two Stanley Cup finals here, but will fall short, you know, could fall short both times. We don't know yet. But, you know, how much of these teams taking on those personalities? There almost seems to be like a weight off Florida this year. They don't seem to carry that stress anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're 100% right. And talk about changing the narrative, because you're right. When Paul Maurice quit, left Winnipeg, people were just saying, wow, good coach, great coach, legendary coach in many respects, got a lot of regular season wins, but wasn't able to elevate his team to where they needed to be. Had some success, got Carolina to the final, and obviously got to a conference final in Winnipeg. But now he's going to go down as one of the greatest coaches ever. I mean, really, it's just what Scotty Bowman and I think Joel Quenneville, who have more wins than him, and to go back to back, if that's what happens here, three straight Stanley Cup finals, it's amazing. And to do it in a way where he seems to have such a high EQ. And I always talk about this when I talk about the great coaches. X's and O's are incredibly important, but get me a guy who can motivate me. Get me a guy who understands the 20th guy on the bench and understands your superstar and can motivate both those guys. And it might be different ways of motivating them, but can understand, relate, and motivate both the fourth line guy and the first line guy. And again, it's not about being loved by everyone, because if you talk to any coaches, they'll tell you, you're not going to be loved by everyone. You just got to be loved and respected by some of the guys. And you certainly need to be respected even by the guys you might be sitting and who aren't getting the ice time and are a little pissed at you. And Paul Maurice just has a great way of making everyone feel invested in what they're doing. Jonah Gajewicz didn't play a minute in the Stanley Cup playoffs last year, but he was with the team. He was a black ace throughout the playoffs. Here he is now providing minutes and getting a lot of accolades from Paul Maurice. He understands that. You know, Nick, you were in a tough role at times, not getting all the ice time, but you were made to feel valuable in that 94 run for the Rangers. And he has a great way of making these guys feel like they're invested and equally a part of what's going on. Vitek Vanacek came over. He has to sit there and take all the shots in practice. And Paul Maurice goes out of his way to talk about Vanacek and how important that is.
I forgot about him.
Right, he's on the team.
We all did. And that's my point. Like, that's a great coach, right? Yeah. Who's getting the backup goalie to feel like they're as much a part of it as Bobrovsky, who's playing every single minute. So Paul Maurice deserves all the flowers he's getting. Chris Knobloch, I mean, he's had unbelievable success. And I don't think anyone would put this on him. There'll be a lot of questions if Edmonton doesn't win the cup. You know, what do they need to do? And, you know, how do they build around their nucleus of superstars? And what are they going to pay Evan Bouchard? And what about the goaltending? I don't think a lot of questions are going to be necessarily pointed at Chris Knobloch. Is he the right voice to lead us there? I haven't heard that. I'm not in the inner circle of the Oilers, but I haven't heard much like, uh-oh, we don't have the right guy behind the bench.
DA, great job as always, man. We really appreciate your time on a game day. Find a way to get a game seven, please. Everybody wants to see it.
Yeah, listen, it's a win-win either. I get to go home to my family. It's been a long time. Or, you know, more favorably would be really to have a game seven and have the Oilers pull it off, which would be pretty cool because it's been a long time coming. You also asked the hot. I closed these blinds because I looked like the witness protection program, but there it is.
Yeah.
The sun is out. I wasn't kidding.
All right. Hey, that sunshine hit the Oilers tonight.
I'm telling your wife you said more favorably.
Thanks, buddy. Have a great night. David
Thanks
Amber.
Thanks for having me on, fellas. Be well. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, DA.
DA, getting ready for puck drop, 8 p.m., Sportsnet, CBC. So I just want to just follow up a little bit on fork in the road tonight. And I'm not, it's not fork in the road that Connor will decide to leave or not sign.
No.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they lose tonight, then there has to be a serious reflection from all of them, including Connor, on where this team moves forward here. Because I'm looking at this lineup right now, and their best winger, Connor's best winger, you know, outside of, you know, when Draisaitl's with him, is Corey Perry. Jeez. So
can they fit Marner in?
I get that Hyman's out, but like, where is this team next year? Where is Kapanen and Kane and Skinner and
old time,
you know, Connor Brown? Like, how close is if Connor doesn't get his cup Saturday night, where are the Oilers in the next few years? Like, it's nice that David throws out that, you know, he's going to get his cup. He's just going to have to wait. Like, where is the signs that this is, outside of 97 and 29, that you've got a great nucleus still moving forward?
I will say there are concerns in that, you know, on the older end are Corey Perry, Evander Kane, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Zach Hyman, Adam Henrique. You know, those guys are Ekholm, older players, like into their 30s. My point is not that they're old. They're not going to get better next year. And they're among their most important guys. So who is stepping in to fill that void among young players? I'm looking at the roster. I got nothing. Trent Frederick could be a little better. You know, Bouchard's a Norris threat, I suppose. But like, so how can they get better from here if they don't get it this year? Connor's going to have a night tonight, boys. He is. He's going to have a night tonight.
So you're calling Connor winning tonight and you guaranteeing the win for the Oilers fans?
Mess. Let's go, Mass.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Come on, Mass.
You only do it when you believe it. And I believe Connor's going to have 3 or 4 points.
We only say on this show what we believe.
That's right. Connor's going to he's going to be in the mix. He's going to have a great night. I just can't guarantee an Oiler win.
He can have George Costanza. It's not a lie if you believe it.
What it comes down to is it's not Connor can have 4 points. They need to get a couple saves in the first period. Because
I love that. That's all it is. Like, it's a dumb sport.
They are going to be flying. The Panthers are going to come out hot. They're going to have to survive like the first 10-minute classic playoff game. And you're going to need two or three really good saves from Stu Skinner.
And if you don't,
you're done.
And they lose, hey, Connor, you're eligible to sign July 1st. We're going to give you $18 million for the next 8 years. And Connor turns around and goes, great, who's my goalie? Mm-hmm. Who am I going to win a Stanley Cup with?
Yeah.
And it's like, we're working on that.
Great observation.
Yeah, you know, here's one thing I'm fairly confident. Connor's not just going to, like, go to UFA and leave. You know, like, I feel like that this will have to be.
He's not going to go to UFA and leave.
No.
He's going to pull a Matthew Tkachuk and say, I'm not signing.
I'm
trade
saying
me.
If he's not.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm saying it's
no, that's the only way he.
He
changes teams if he wants to change teams.
If they lose, I think he definitely goes into the next season, to his last season of his contract, saying, let's see what we are. Let's see what we're doing around me.
Oh, the old John Tavares, Mitch Marner.
Well, I think it's fair to see, are we good? Are we long-term? Do I like the direction?
Please.
But there's no one sleeping in Edmonton right now or moving forward if that ever happens.
I mean, they made his longtime agent the president of the team. Like, I feel like they have
to. He just wants to win. He doesn't care.
I mean,
he wants to win. He wants to win.
I would be.
You've seen him when he doesn't win.
I'd be flabbergasted.
It went viral.
Flabbergasted.
I'm not at all saying.
What are you saying, Justin?
I'm saying that he. Here's the question.
Uh-huh.
Is it like LeBron James?
He can't do that. He cannot do that.
Is it like LeBron James, where he owes Edmonton a cup, and if he then gets it, he maybe feels like he can go the way.
I think it's way more likely. I think it's way more likely he stays forever if they won. If they win this year,
yeah.
I think if they lose this year, like Kipper said, he starts looking around, and it's just
he needs his Stanley Cup
bad,
and he needs it on the Oilers.
He needs it Friday.
Anyone else?
You know what the other thing is? Where can you find? How many teams can you go to and have a top five player in the world on your team in like Leon? Like, you know, they have the fundamental building.
It's not enough. Two cracks
they might win.
At having
they
two might, of
they
the best.
Win two games
they're
and
two
win.
Of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
And up until tonight, it hasn't made the difference.
Buddy, this team is not done. Now I feel like
I'm not saying that they're done, but I'm also saying that going into tonight, we see a significant difference between teams on the depth chart. Mm-hmm. Outside of your two players that have world-class talent, there are question marks in net. There's question marks on the blue line, and there's question marks in the depth right now of the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah,
definitely.
So moving forward, if you're Connor McDavid and you want to be regarded as the best player in the history of the game, you cannot hold that title without winning a Stanley Cup. And he knows it.
Yeah, I get it. There's real stakes in that regard.
That's the fork that moves forward with a loss tonight.
It's just risky to try to go somewhere else when you're just betting on another team being good when they've been good. They're right here knocking on the door again. Is he suddenly going to think they got no shot? I doubt it.
One thing you were talking about with DA, with how the Panthers have three really high-profile unrestricted free agents, and you kind of, you know, compared it to the Leafs. If that was like the Leafs, Kipper, I would be so mad at you that if the Leafs were in heading to coming back to Scotiabank Arena with a chance to win the Stanley Cup, you're like, but those UFAs, they're like,
know,
shut up,
yeah,
I don't care about the UFAs,
yeah.
Like, let me win this now.
Yeah, that's a very
that would be so
Toronto
mad
media
at you.
Angle for us. Is
but Florida's already had a cup.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess that's fair. Maybe then you would start doing it, but I thought that was funny. But you're right. Like, it just doesn't. I feel like if they win tonight, Thursday afternoon, we get the 8x8 Bennett in Florida. Mm-hmm. Like, it just feels like it's, you know, he's going to sign it.
I don't know.
At the elbow room, when he's like,
they'd have to go 8x8.
Oh, God, yeah. At
right?
Least, yeah.
You're not going to lose him because you didn't want to go 8x8.
No, they would do 8, but God, I hope so.
8x8, like that is the way.
Yeah, I get the sense that they have not tipped their hand on him. I think,
really,
from what I hear, they haven't gone even up to 8.
Really?
Well, then what are you talking 12-5 on our show for?
That's what the Leafs would have to, not Florida.
Okay.
The Leafs.
So, what do you think the number is? Is you think 8x8 gets it done for them in Florida with him?
I think so. Yeah.
What did they pay Reinhardt? They paid him nothing,
five?
Right? Wasn't
8-5?
8-6-2-5 says Derek.
8-6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're
I don't
Bennett,
know. I don't think they want to pay him as much as Reinhardt.
I mean, he's not as good as Reinhardt. Reinhardt's probably a better player. But right now, that's a hard argument.
So.
But if I'm the agent, I'm like, are you sure about that? Like, my guy's just scoring the most playoff road goals in the history of the league, and Conn's my favorite.
The only thing with Bennett is, like, he hasn't made a huge sum of money and isn't poised to make a huge sum after this. There would be some incentive to get that
bag.
If,
yeah.
As
I think teams would
say,
be reluctant to.
5 years ago.
I think other teams would be very hesitant to give him $10 million a year. I don't think he can get there.
I wouldn't. Sign me up. I'm watching him belong in these games.
Yeah.
Especially
how
in Toronto.
How about the Leafs sign Frederick after the season, Janot and Bennett, and just get weird?
Yeah. So, anyways.
All right.
Game time?
Game time.
It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So, Borny, what did you say that you thought Connor was going to have tonight?
3 points.
3 points. Okay. Let's check what that pays. That is plus 280 for Connor McDavid to have 3 points.
They think he's good too.
Imagine being so good at hockey that a book is like in game six of the Stanley Cup final, you're going to have you're plus 280 to have 3 points. That's insane. So that's the number there. Leon Draisaitl plus 400 for 3 points tonight. The actual line on the game tonight, it has money has come in on the Panthers because yesterday, what did we say they were? Minus 150?
Yep.
They are now up to minus 160 on the money line. The Edmonton Oilers plus 135 underdogs in game six in Florida. I just got to tell you, feels a little bit tempting to me.
I bet that.
And I wanted to check in on this too quickly before we go to break, the Stanley Cup handoff. We talked about this before the start of the series, and the favorite was Nate Schmidt.
Okay.
Who is the favorite now?
Bob.
Brad Marchand is the favorite.
Oh, gosh, Justin.
Hey, Brad.
Brad Marchand, plus 190, still tied with Nate Schmidt at plus 190. If they give the Stanley Cup to Nate Schmidt
Brad Marchand,
I will...
Brad's won one. They
so
might.
What?
They might.
So what? That was like 20
Next
years ago.
Next oldest guys are Noshik, Rodriguez, Sturm.
And then they have, and then if you
Sturm
go...
Sturm hasn't played. That was a deadline edition.
Yeah. So they go, and then it goes, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is the next favorite at plus 600 ahead of Leon Draisaitl, which is very confusing to me. Sergei Bobrovsky plus 1,100. Seth Jones plus 1,200. Down to Aaron Ekblad at 30-1. Anyways.
Nate Schmidt.
If they, like I said, I'm not going to be a hockey fan anymore if they give it to Nate Schmidt over Brad Marchand.
I like Nate Schmidt.
I do too. Brad Marchand scored 25 goals in four games. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, let's take a... quick break here, and when we return, we'll go around the NHL a little bit, including Tage Thompson. Good player.
Let's talk about it.
Real good player. He had an interview, a response.
Yeah, with our boy Andy Strickland on Cam and Strick. Boy, he's making a lot of news recently, our boy Strick.
I guess.
Holy smoke.
All right, that and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the studio. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Lots of scuttlebutt around the league. I think a few teams are calling in on the Buffalo Sabres, from what I hear. Yeah.
I'm the name J.J. Paterka has been out there,
yeah.
Which, by the way, really good player. Pretty young. That one would scare me.
New Reinhardt just dropped.
Like, how many good players can this Sabres organization lose?
Yeah.
What is it? What's going on?
Just losing. And then no one wants to be there.
I think teams are starting to kind of... They want to try to pounce right now.
Certainly.
On a vulnerable franchise that needs to do something quick to get the fan base back.
Yeah, but what's that? By the way, Paterka was born in the year 2002, 23 years old.
Okay. So Tage Thompson, Sammy,
yeah,
went on the air the other day.
He went on with Cam Jansen and Andy Strickland on Cam and Strick, and I just saw Andy tweet this out today, and I thought the clip was worth playing for. If you're a Sabres fan, maybe avert your ears, but we'll play the clip of him. He got hammered by Nosek, right?
Yeah.
And there was a lack of response, and we talked about it.
Softest team in the league.
Yeah. So let's play the clip there, Derek, if we could.
It was a weird situation, to be honest with you, because. Well, when the hit happened, I didn't even know what happened. Like, I didn't see him. I didn't know what was going on. I just, like, kind of blacked out, came to, and then was kind of helped off the ice. But watching it on replay, yeah, I thought it was a little dirty. I would have liked someone to step in for sure. I was a little shocked by that. Our team is great guys, and they all said sorry and, like, should have done something. Like, even if we didn't see it or knew what happened, like, we should have stepped in and at least done something, which... Yeah, I get it. Like, the game happens fast. Maybe you didn't know what to do in the situation or how to react. I don't know, because I wasn't in that situation, right? I was the one laying on the ice. But Lindy came in and just said, like, that can't happen again. And if you see someone laying on the ice or someone gets hit like that, like, you better step in and do something. And I think after that, there was a great response. And I don't think we had another problem like that the rest of the season, which is good.
Yeah, I got no problem with any of that.
I have no problem with it, but I do think it's instructive that the player who was hurt, who is their best player,
yeah,
thought his teammates should have stood up for him. I think that's not good. But they said sorry.
They apologize.
The important thing is that he's not saying anything to the public that hadn't already been said in the dressing room.
Right.
So when he states that the team said sorry, it means that it was discussed,
mm-hmm,
and the teammates know they were in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So making it public is fine for me because that discussion already happened.
Yeah.
And there's no real secrets that you're giving away other than the fact that we need to be better and tighter as a team together.
Yeah, but it's like if my dog sees a paper towel on the ground, he'll eat it, and then I'll smack him and be like, don't, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I've told him, and it's been public, he'll still do it next time. I promise.
I know, but smack yourself because you're the one that put the tissue down there in the first place.
Well, this is me with the Sabres where it's like they might know they should do stuff, but they don't have those guys, Kip. They're not.
Well, that's a different animal,
yeah,
right? That's a different conversation. That's a managerial decision to be made in the future.
Yes, it is.
Is that if you don't have the guys, and we can look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, Sammy,
I was gonna say
the same thing. It's like
it reminded me
taking pains, right, to find
the
guys.
And worse is whether you're Buffalo or Toronto or any other team sitting on the sidelines right now, you are watching a team like the Florida Panthers do it right.
And you're looking at Paterka and Benson and Jack Quinn and Peyton Krebs and all these guys.
Painful reminders of who did Marchand grease into the boards, and was it Liljegren?
Liljegren, he slew foot and snapped his ankle.
And then the Leafs did nothing. I particularly remember Kipper coming in the next day and being irate about it.
Yeah.
And I remember Sheldon Keefe coming out in the media and being like, oh, we had a meeting to talk about how, this is how you respond to that. It's like, if you got to have a meeting, you probably don't have the right group of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the big changes that Berube came in here and we gave him praise for this year, was that side of it was much more just natural.
Mm-hmm.
And it just it wasn't like they were running around, but it felt like they were sticking up for each other a little bit better than they had in years
better,
past.
For it was sure better. It was better.
So then,
but still not good enough at the end.
No,
still
I agree.
Scott Laughton agree. Was a nice addition. He was one of the few guys who was eager to be in there.
Yeah, wouldn't mind one goal in the playoffs.
Well, I'm talking about the others.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But no, it's hard to teach a group of players like you just said like that to act that way. And you said, that's what makes the Florida Panthers so great, is they are hyenas. Yeah. They're dogs on a bone. Whenever something bad happens, all of them arrive. They're always together.
Edmonton had it. They had it going for a little while there. They had the balanced scoring, but they also had that toughness. And Evander Kane, when he's on, he's really good.
Yeah.
And he's a fantastic athlete.
Special.
And he is. He's
a specimen. Few guys, him and Tom Wilson and guys who can score 30 and beat you up, and they're a rarity.
He needs to find that tonight. He needs... I don't know if he's gun shy now because all of a sudden there's a parade to the penalty box with him. He can't keep his stick down.
I said this very thing. Everyone was like, you got to tell these guys to be disciplined, be careful, don't take penalties. Don't tell Kane that.
They've neutered him.
Yeah, go do your thing. Go be, you need some of that.
But I think you need that through the first four games.
I totally get your point.
Right now, it's not.
Now's not the time to
go
be.
You're not sending a message. You're trying to send a message into the net.
No, you got to just initiate, though, the push, and you hope that they can
the physicality.
They have to drive it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural reaction to retaliate or, do something that your subconscious drags you into that you didn't necessarily want to do. Mm-hmm. That's where Evander Kane has to be that force first.
Mm-hmm.
Can't think about scoring goals right away without going through a process. And part of that process is the moment the puck drops that you're on your toes and they're on their heels.
Yeah.
And that has not happened for the Oilers.
I can't even believe I'm about to do this, but we do have a Paul Maurice clip from today.
Really disappointed in you all playoff.
Listen,
not enough Paul Maurice.
Do you want to play it?
Buddy, all the Paul Maurice you got.
Are you going to try to make up for it?
For what?
like the lack of Paul Maurice.
Yeah, well, why
this one?
We have tons of
people. I despise that.
We have tons of people that work here. Like, you guys can maybe ask some of them to cut the clips for me. I can't do it. I can't physically bring myself to do it. Anyways, this is a clip that I got Derek to cut for me today because it was making the rounds on social media.
Paul, what does it feel like waking up in the morning knowing that you could win the Stanley Cup?
I think you asked me that four times last year.
Is that Richard Pryor in his prime? Oh my God! That me.
It's a good line.
Oh sure, it's a marginal joke at best.
It feels just fine, thank you.
At best,
I love.
He made the room laugh.
Oh Paul! Oh, we love you, Paul.
I hate this guy.
Hate anyone that's successful outside of your Maple Leafs.
No, I just a certain. Way about
but him. It is a funny line. Like they almost, you know, that's one of my favorite Maurice like reflections. Was it on this show where he was like,
yes,
you know, talking about how aware he was, what his legacy would have been had it slipped last year.
Like, I think it was one of you guys asked him about how what would have happened if, and he's like, I don't even let myself go there.
Yeah,
like I can't even think about
they
that.
They almost blew a 3-0.
But 60 minutes tonight for a Stanley Cup win might as well be like 60 miles right now. You got to distance yourself from that emotionally.
Yeah. It is funny, though, how, you know, the old golf joke, like there's no pitchers on the scorecard, just got to get it done. Like, I don't think a lot of people think back to the fact that they were up 3-0 and it went to 7. Like, they just won the Stanley Cup last year. It wasn't like they almost let it slip. You know,
nobody cares.
On the verse, nobody cares how it happens. You just have to get it done. They've across the line.
Oilers have yet to win a regulation game in the series.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Just two overtime wins.
Yeah.
Is tonight the night? Can they do it? Can they pull
in
a lead? Toronto Maple Leafs. They went in there in game six. No one thought beat them 2-0.
It's funny you mentioned the Leafs.
Drag them back for game seven. Mm. Oilers got to drag them back.
If the P's win tonight, I would say that the Toronto Maple Leafs are the second best team in the league because they gave the Stanley Cup champion the biggest test. So that's facts.
Oh, God.
It's hard to. You guys gonna dispute facts?
Can't refute it.
You
right,
want a
Sam?
Participation ribbon as well while you're at it?
I'd take any ribbon, bud, when it comes to the Leafs. I'd take any ribbon.
Just something.
But you're uniquely qualified to answer this question, Kipper. Cup in the building. Those guys in the Panthers, I know they've already won, but it's still another chance to win. Like, how the hell do you play a hockey game? Like, how do you, like, focus in?
It's easier after you've won it.
Yeah, I guess.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, and it's equivalent to getting to a Stanley Cup final where both of these teams are back 12 months later. Mm-hmm. It's business, man. Just get the job done. That's what makes you a pro, is that you understand what the task is and how to get it done. And they understand process.
Mm.
So, yeah, cup in the building or not.
Same game.
Yeah. Now if you're looking at a third period where the clock's ticking and you're up 3-1 or it's tied, it can get emotional for sure. But start of the puck drop, man, it's just another game trying to get the job done.
Yeah.
Man.
I think a lower scoring game tonight. You know, I think everyone a little bit more conscious of not wanting to be the one to make the mistake. The Oilers trying to lock it down. They're giving up too many goals and not sure about their goalie. I just think you'll see a tighter hockey game tonight.
God, that's up to Skinner.
Yep.
Skinner, when he's good, like, puck finds him.
The thing when he's good, though, like, he's so good. Like, he could easily black out tonight and just be like, oh, there he is.
And sometimes he's spinning.
Sometimes he's actually blacked out. stand up.
Goal differential by period from Sportsnet stats here. The first period, Florida's a +7. They've outscored them 11-4. Mm-hmm. Second, third, OT, 12-12.
Ooh. Even. Get through the first, Edmonton. Get through the first.
Game six tonight. Ooh,
score.
Strick hearing Troy Terry is available from Anaheim.
Oh,
whoa. Bomb.
Score tonight.
I want Oilers 3-1.
All right, I'm going to say 2-0 Oilers.
Ooh.
Panthers 4-3,
yeah.
Stanley Cup winning goal in overtime by Brad Marchand.
Oof. And the Conn Smythe then.
Yeah.
Hyper specific.
Everything gets started 7:30 on Sportsnet and the CBC. Enjoy game six, everybody. Let's hope there's a 7. Our thanks to David Amber for joining us. you get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.